This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning to you. It's a Tuesday. It's a Twizzler Tuesday. It's a Touchdown Tuesday. It's a Tuesday, which means it's no longer a Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are playing a little game this morning. We're using TV shows or epic lines from TV shows to describe how we feel about our football teams, whether college or the pros. In this first month, it can be a wild ride, as was evidenced by the number of major quarterback injuries and other, not just injuries, but wacky storylines, twists and turns and finishes. And our Touchdown Tuesday poll, complete with some of the best touchdowns of the week that will play for you here this hour, is really just a microcosm of what we saw on the field week two in the NFL, and of course college football too, kind of getting good now as teams try to settle into some consistency, find their strengths, know their weaknesses, figure out how to mask them, and the drama is ever increasing every weekend. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Use your favorite TV show title or line to describe your football team. And use the hashtag Twizzler Tuesday. That way we can find it on Twitter or on our Facebook page. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. 855-212-4CBS. Monday Night Football, the end of week two in the NFL, and yet another quarterback injury. Crazy, but a flag thrown against Myles Garrett for the hit that knocked Trevor Siemian out of the game for the New York Jets. And he had only been the starting quarterback for the Jets for a New York minute. I mean, it was quick, taking over for a Sam Darnold who has mono. But Trevor Siemian didn't last through the first half. Honestly, I don't know how he walked to the locker room. The way that his ankle twisted looks so painful, and I feel terrible for him. We don't have a definitive word yet. It appeared to be broken. If not that, then certainly ligament damage, unless we are just woefully inadequate at judging based on how his ankle flipped sideways and twisted. It looked awful. He looked like he was in a ton of pain. And so we'll wait to get definitive word on Trevor Siemian, but enter Luke Falk. Who? Exactly. We're not playing games about Zeke who or Odell who. Actually, Luke Falk. Get to know yet another starting quarterback in the NFL who hails from Washington State. So Luke Falk was a draft pick of the Jets going back to 2018. And now here he is, starting QB for the New York Jets, at least for the foreseeable future. So that was one major storyline coming out of Monday Night Football. But also the Cleveland Browns looking for their first win in a place where Odell Beckham Jr. is extremely comfortable.
Second down, they're behind the chains. Second and 12, snap back, he's got it. Looking middle, looking far right, going down the right sideline, and a one-handed grab by Beckham, but he is out of bounds. And now they're going to say he's got it inside the 5 and the 4. What a catch by Beckham with his right hand.
If you missed it tonight, you'll see it on TV tomorrow, that's for sure.
Here's Mayfield throwing, and it's Odell Beckham Jr. in the clear. 35, 40, he's to the 50, he's running to the 40, he's going into the end zone. 10, 5, touchdown, he's arrived back in the end zone at MetLife Stadium.
To be honest, I'm just focused on where I'm going now. And God has really done a lot for me in my life, especially recently in the past 6 months. So just kind of moving forward, it was just kind of like closing a chapter today. It really was. It was special for me to be able to come here. It was more special to get a win. It was special to have, you know, a pretty good game. But we're back at it tomorrow. We got a tough team to play this week. So it's just time to get back to work.
Odell Beckham speaks the truth about what comes next for the Cleveland Browns. We'll get to that week three. But six catches for 161 yards and a score. And against a depleted Jets team, honestly, the defense was game. Felt like Greg Williams for quite a while was able to use his knowledge of Baker Mayfield and the Browns offense to make it difficult for him, to confuse him. And the Jets defense did all they could. But man, on that 89-yard scamper by Odell, there were probably five black jerseys that were within the vicinity. But you can understand, or at least I can understand, why they were exhausted at that point in the third quarter. So huge night for Odell in his return to MetLife Stadium and in facing Greg Williams as the defensive coordinator for the Jets. Jim Donovan with the calls on the Browns radio network. Baker himself, 19 of 35 for 325 yards and a score. Also had an interception off the hands of Odell Beckham Jr. It wasn't a smooth start. I mean, the offense did not look like it had a rhythm or a groove in the first half. And again, you can credit the defense of the Jets for that. But this was a win, and that's important. And every step now forward for this group of young Browns and their brand new head coach, I think, is important. And this was a positive one.
We absolutely need to play better. I think that's the biggest thing, is not losing sight of that a win is a win, especially on the road, and we needed this one. But, you know, field goals early on, we'll take points, but at the same time, we need to be able to finish those drives. And so, yeah, we need to play better.
They continue just to keep their head down. They blocked out the noise outside, and, still got a lot of work to do. But it's always better to do it after a win.
Well, that's honest and truthful from Freddie Kitchens. I was glad to see them cut down on the number of penalties. Myles Garrett's still getting flagged for unnecessary roughness and late hits, so that's not optimal. But he's obviously very physical and a guy who is going to wreak havoc. Another three sacks for him on Monday Night Football. As for the New York Jets, they got a lot out of Le'Veon Bell, 68 rushing yards, 61 receiving yards, though he did have a fumble. He was upset about that. But really the big question mark for them now is, A, how quickly can Sam Darnold recover and be back as their starting quarterback? But they don't want to take any shortcuts or rush him. And what do they do about their very, very thin quarterback room?
We're going to have to look at these guys, like all our guys, and just see who's doing their job, who's not. Do we have to move pieces around? Do we have to kind of change some things up? I thought Luke did a really good job tonight. You know, we started off kind of slow. I was just trying to somewhat ease him into the game a little bit. You know, he was on practice squad yesterday.
So Adam Gase talking about the really quick step up for Luke Falk. Again, was on the practice squad. This was actually the first game in his NFL career for which he's ever been active. So huge. Put yourself in his shoes. He's never been active for a game before. He's on the sidelines recognizing that one play could force him into duty. And then it happens. And he's out there taking his first ever NFL snaps in a game that counts. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. During Monday Night Football, Minka Fitzpatrick traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. A little bit odd, maybe, if you're thinking about the Steelers as a runner-up and also-ran now that they've lost Ben Roethlisberger for the season. But instead, they trade for a top-flight defensive back. And part of the issue with the Dolphins, I mean, there are many issues with the Dolphins now, but part of the issue with Fitzpatrick is that he was tired of moving around and playing multiple positions. And so, instead, he is likely to be straight corner with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they trade a first round pick for him, as well as some exchanging of later round picks in 20 and 21. So listen to the Dolphins stockpiling three first round picks next spring and two second rounds. Plus they have a pair of firsts already in 2021. And so they're clearly in full out rebuilding mode, and Minka Fitzpatrick, the latest personnel change. Jalen Ramsey also wants to trade out of Jacksonville. You know, he's temperamental. he doesn't like Doug Marrone's decision making, and they had an altercation. Well, it was verbal. It wasn't really physical, but a verbal exchange on the sidelines that was caught on camera by pretty much everybody on Sunday. And so he's now asking for a trade out of Jacksonville. This is a guy who was a fifth overall pick in 2016, but is still under that rookie contract. And his option was picked up for 2020. But not only does he want a new deal, he wants a new coach. Doug Marrone wasn't even planning to speak to him about, you know, their brouhaha on the sidelines on Sunday. Happened over a non-challenge flag that was not thrown by Doug Marrone. Jalen Ramsey wanted Marrone to throw a flag and review a play with DeAndre Hopkins where he felt like there was pass interference. And Marrone, who obviously has people in his ear looking at tape telling him whether or not it's worth throwing a flag, doesn't. And so Jalen Ramsey confronts him and they have strong words and have to be separated. But this is not a first for Jalen Ramsey. He's very emotional, likes to run his mouth, pretty much will go after anybody and everybody who's in his path. And so he now wants out, and it may end up being addition by subtraction. He's really talented, and that emotion, I think, drives him on the football field, though it often gets him into trouble as well. But that's one thing that they can't afford right now. They just can't afford the extracurricular crap. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Ben Roethlisberger, as you know by now, is out for the season. Will have surgery on his right elbow, but he does plan to return. He plans to play out the length of his contract with the Steelers, which is this year and then two more years. He was complaining of some arm soreness after the opener in New England, and then you saw him kind of shaking that arm in between snaps early in the game on Sunday. And so he is now out for the year, the worst possible news, and said he's devastated to miss this kind of time with his team, as you can imagine, the weight that he feels on his shoulders and how often he is not just leading the team but carrying the team. And so it becomes the responsibility of one Mason Rudolph out of Oklahoma State last year.
It's kind of a sucky circumstance with, like I said, our leader and a good friend going down. But, you know, he would want me to step up and try, you know, lead the best of my ability. And that's what I've always believed in. That's what I'm going to do. So, you know, I'm just excited to get some more practice reps, right? So that'll be fun to kind of like go into a game and feel a little bit, you know, more rehearsed and prepared. And so, I'm excited. And like I said, I'm going to do what I've always done and step up to the plate.
So that's the new Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback for now. They had just traded away Josh Dobbs, obviously, because the Jacksonville Jaguars were looking for another quarterback for their room after losing Nick Foles. So here we are through week two, and we already have five teams that have used multiple quarterbacks because of injuries. In the case of the New York Jets, they're at their third string guy right now. Here's the upcoming schedule for the Steelers. So this is what Mason Rudolph will deal with early on. Their next game is on the road at San Francisco, a team that's 2-0. Then they are back home to play back-to-back contests against AFC North opponents in the Bengals and the Ravens. Now, in the case of the Ravens, we don't know if they'll still be undefeated, but right now as the defending North Division champs, an offense that is locked in. Their defense is also looking really good. They've gotten a little younger. They've changed some pieces on defense, but you got to like what the defense has done early on. So the next three games pose a major test for the Steelers as well as for Mason Rudolph, and we'll see how quickly Minkah Fitzpatrick is up to speed. You would expect him to be out there starting, though, right away. Couple of other notes. Drew Brees out likely 6 weeks. He'll have thumb surgery, though the word is that he's consulting with a specialist for a second opinion just to make sure that they've got the right course of treatment. And this will be a new experience for him like it is for Ben. He's only missed one game with injury since he joined the Saints in 2006. Trevor Siemian, we're waiting on word, but his ankle from Monday Night Football. Couple other non-quarterback injuries that are serious. All-pro linebacker Darius Leonard of the Colts is in concussion protocol. And then I should have mentioned this on last night's show, but I didn't. We know now that Niners offensive lineman Joe Staley has a broken leg and is out likely 6 to 8 weeks. So some pretty serious injuries coming out of week number two, and that's not even the complete list It's a tough business. It's a difficult sport to get all the way through a season healthy. And even if you do play all 16 games, you're likely banged up and feeling the bumps and bruises. All right, a few things moving forward. Good stuff from Tom Brady and Joe Namath on Westwood One Monday Night Football. So I wanted to play a little bit of that for you. Larry Fitzgerald about losing quarterbacks and what this means. He obviously went through it in the desert when they lost Carson Palmer. And remember, that was a year in which they were headed for potentially some real noise in the playoffs. You know, they were down to their third string quarterback by the time they got into the postseason. And then we'll take your calls, 855-212-4227, and your TV lines or shows that describe your favorite football team right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Summers helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Cleveland Browns.
Here's Mayfield throwing, and it's Odell Beckham Jr. in the clear. 35, 40, he's to the 50, he's running to the 40, he's going into the end zone. 10, 5, touchdown, he's arrived back in the end zone. Life Stadium.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Set out of the gun. He will back to throw. Lobs it in the end zone looking for T.Y. Touchdown! Touchdown, T.Y. Touchdown, I.N.D.Y. A 4-yard touchdown pass. Jacoby Brissett to T.Y. Hilton. That's a career-high touchdowns in a single game for Jacoby Brissett with 3. And the Colts are right back on top. They have the lead now. It's 19-17.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Snap to Ryan. Here comes Philly. Quick throw. This is Julio Jones. 45, 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Atlanta. Holy goodness smokes.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Russell takes the snap. Looks far side. Throw downfield. He's got Metcalf. He's got a touchdown. Seahawks. DK Metcalf one-on-one down the far sidelines. Good luck. Perfect pass by Russell Wilson, a 28-yard strike. That's number 201 touchdowns for Russell Wilson. What a Hall of Fame career he is having, and he's got another 20 or 30 years left. 27-19, the Seahawks leading.
Some excitement there from Steve Rabel on the Seahawks radio network. Poor Russell Wilson, could you imagine playing in 30 years? Oh, dear God, please don't suffer that long. He gets hit a lot too. But that touchdown to DK Metcalf, one of our candidates for Touchdown Tuesday. Before that, Julio Jones, the 54-yarder, West Durham. Holy goodness smokes! One of my favorite calls from the weekend on the Falcons radio network. The T.Y. Hilton touchdown pass after the Jordan Wilkins run for the Colts that put them in the red zone. Amazing. Indy wins its first game post Andrew Luck. That's Matt Taylor on the Colts radio network. And finally, Odell Beckham Jr., the last touchdown of week 2 on Monday Night Football, his career-long 89 yards, most of it on the run after he had the ball from Baker Mayfield. So good stuff there. Please vote for Touchdown Tuesday. I'll retweet here, A-Law Radio, but also on our Facebook page, which touchdown deserves the title, the crown TD of the week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Squeeze in a call here. Johnny's in Dallas. Johnny, welcome to After Hours. What TV show describes your football team?
The first line of the Full House song, my team is the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to predictability? And Dak is Blossom. Joey, whoa.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of fun to see Dak Prescott with the creative offense and the weapons around him. So it's a little bit of both. It's not just the fact that the calls are different. It's also the fact that he's got a full complement of weapons, a true tight end group with more experience. And Jason Witten is back now, obviously. Randall Cobb, and I know Gallup is going to have surgery, but having Amari Cooper there and having had almost a full year with him now, plus Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, they now have many weapons that he can use.
Well, it's funny. I'm not going to talk long, but with the Cowboys, it's just history. They keep the good ones on the bench for a long time. Romo, well, I take that back with Dak because he was inserted,
right away.
Instantly.
Yep.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, it's amazing how, like, with those late picks, they find good things, at least right now. We're drafting well and developing well. That's been missing for about a good 15 years. So, thanks.
Yeah, no, thank you, Johnny. Good to talk to you in Dallas. We'll get to your calls, 855-212-4227. Brian is in Cleveland. What do you think?
Hey, Amy. Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm a Cleveland Brown fan and love the Browns. It's very hard to love the Browns in the last 20 years, but I'm diehard. My first thing I want the Browns to be is happy days because we want these days to work out. We don't know yet.
Sure.
So the show I thought of is Entourage. It's like a bunch of guys that are like driving around in the car. You think they're kind of good. They kind of know what they're doing. They're kind of talking. I mean, that's, I think, where we are right now. We just don't know where they're going to be.
I would agree with that. It's very much up in the air. There's a lot of potential there. I don't think the Browns know what they're going to be yet. They're still working through a lot of changes. I mean, Freddie Kitchens is a first-time head coach calling the plays. Baker Mayfield, as much as he feels dangerous, there's still a learning curve there. He's, barely started a full year now. If you add in these last couple starts, and he's got different guys that are along with him. I think the offensive line still needs some work. I like the physicality of the defense and the aggressiveness, but it's a lot of young players, and so they're all kind of trying to grow up and learn how to win together. And we hear that cliche in sports a lot, learn how to win, but it's the truth. I mean, you have to have a winning culture, and the Browns are developing that now.
No, hey, absolutely. But what's nice as a fan is that we've been waiting a really long time to have a product to at least get you to watch that gives you some intrigue.
Of course.
We don't know where they're going to be.
Of course.
But we think there's a good chance, and like the next 5 weeks are going to be awfully tough. But it'll be tough and fun, not just tough and miserable.
I hope that is the case. I think it's a nice layer to have in the NFL if the Browns, because they've been so long-suffering, it's like cheering for the Cubs back before they finally won a World Series. They've been lovable losers for a long time.
Right, exactly. I got another quick one for you, and I'll let you go. I love your show, like I said. When I was thinking about Kansas City, I really thought of a great analogy. It's definitely Bewitched. Mahomes is literally like Samantha, and
literally,
when Darren leaves the house, Samantha can wiggle her nose and do magic. And when Darren comes back, he can't. So the second quarter, Darren left the house, and Mahomes wiggled his nose and just like scored four quarters. And then Darren came back and was like, "Okay, I got to be real again and play by myself."
Yeah, that was weird.
Just so. The point is, he's just so magical. He's amazing and fun to watch. He does make the game better.
For sure. I agree with that. Brian, thanks so much for your call in Cleveland.
Yep. Have a great day. Bye.
855-212-4227. Yeah, he mentions the Browns schedule. Listen to this. It's a doozy the next 5 weeks. The Rams, which is coming up Sunday Night Football Week 3. Then they have a road game at the Ravens, so their first game in the AFC North, followed by their bye week, and then a road game at the San Francisco 49ers. The following 3 weeks, Seahawks at the Patriots, at the Broncos. And say what you want about Denver. I know they're not real good right now, but playing at Mile High is a difficult atmosphere to play in. So the next few weeks are really going to be a gauge for the Browns. And if they're going to change their station in the NFL, this is their opportunity to do it. Andrew Bogish is here in studio. Do you have a TV show or a TV line that would describe your football team, which I don't know if you saw, the Browns put together kind of their own little video to the theme of the start of Friends. So I'll be there for you. Did you see it?
I did not.
Oh, it's so cute. They've got the couch and the water and the lamp, and it's Odell and it's Denzel Ward, and they kind of mimic the open to Friends. It's
okay.
Really, it's cute.
Every answer I could give you would be mean and dismissive to the Giants, who I am not a fan of right now, so maybe I should be quiet. Yeah.
You've changed it.
Change what?
Changed your fandom?
No, I've always been a Giants fan. But I'm very disappointed in them, and I'm re-angry this week because they're about to bungle their quarterback change that should have already happened, so if I say anything, it's going to be mean.
As the World Turns?
Young and the Restless.
Young and the Restless. Yeah. There you go.
There's a show on MTV called, like, Ridiculousness. Like, I feel like that comes to mind
There's
as well.
There's a show called Ridiculousness?
Yeah, it's a guy, a skateboarding guy. It's like a clip show. It's just sort of stupid videos of people doing stupid things. I feel like that's the Giants.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I feel like you answered that question very well.
I tried. Politely.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Not quite like the old lady on the train who was cussing me out. You missed this story, but I tried to help this little old lady because she had like a bunch of bags in a cart, and I was worried that she was going to get stuck or fall in the gap, and there was a mad rush of people on Friday, and so I tapped her on the shoulder and said, ma'am, and I was going to ask her if I could help her. She started cussing me out.
Yeah.
Call me words that I cannot repeat on the show, even though you do think I have a potty mouth.
I mean, you do.
And so I turned my back on her finally. She muttered at me for like 3 minutes. We were pulling into the station, and I was worried she was going to pull a knife out of that bag and stab me in the back.
Yeah, this is why you shouldn't be nice.
I mean, I was just trying to help her with her bags.
No, it's not worth it.
She was like 4'9" and just lit into me. It was, it was
for touching her or just talking to her?
I didn't touch. I mean, I did. I tapped her on the shoulder, but I literally used one finger and was like, ma'am, because she was kind of half turned back to me. So maybe I scared her, but she went on for 3 minutes calling me names. Mm.
So maybe she just wasn't well in the first place.
Maybe. So that's what I get for trying to help someone.
I told
you should try it next time you're on the train.
No, I can read people well, and I don't help anyone.
Okay. Well, on that note,
you are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Takes the snap and retreats. He looks left. He fires the back shoulder.
Yeah!
Brown. Touchdown, Patriots. Inside the near left pylon.
Welcome to New England, kid. What a throw by the quarterback to the back shoulder.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tom Brady to Antonio Brown. First half of their game against the Miami Dolphins. Defense took over in the second half. That's the call there on the Patriots Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Really cool stuff with Tom Brady and Joe Namath on the Westwood One pregame show before Monday Night Football. And if you haven't heard it, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the whole thing. It's on the Westwood One website, but we pulled a couple pieces from it. And I had forgotten that Joe Namath had played for Bear Bryant, the legendary coach at Alabama. And it was really neat to hear them talk about the difficulty and the high standard that these coaches have in the case of Bryant and Belichick. So this is Tom Brady and Joe Namath along with Jim Gray on Westwood One.
Well, they're winners. You respect them. It's their way. You follow them. And they didn't get that kind of following or reputation or demeanor by accident. They had the passion for football and you have to have the respect for one another, and they taught that for us, or to us, certainly. I've never seen a coach like Coach Belichick. Coach Bryant, I had a great coach. My high school coach was great. Weave Eubank won a championship in both leagues. So I was fortunate to have some great coaching.
You know, it's amazing when I think about, and I've seen some Bear Bryant, I've seen some Paul Brown, I've seen a lot of Vince Lombardi, and I think Coach Belichick, I think that way of coaching, and really, as a disciplinarian, is going out of style in the NFL, unfortunately. I mean, that's the only coach that I've ever known. And I think it's an amazing way, it's an amazing style, is to, you know, you coach the players and you coach them and you give them the truth. And you motivate them to be the best they can be. And without Coach Belichick coaching me the way that he has, there's no way I would become the player that I am today.
Interesting insight, right, from Tom Brady specifically about Bill Belichick and his style as a disciplinarian. And sure, that's the only style that Tom Brady's ever known, but he said around the NFL that's going out of style. It's not the way of the current NFL, and he's right. Most coaches manage egos more than they actually teach. And a lot of times it depends upon the age of your roster, but also coaches who have a heavy hand or attempt to set boundaries and set rules, we'll often see some of their players ask for trades or want to be out of there because that's not necessarily what modern athletes want. And many, not all, but many will buck authority. And so to hear Tom Brady talk about the disciplinary aspect of Belichick as a coach, I thought was fascinating. And then Joe Namath before that, playing for Bear Bryant. Their conversation about Monday Night Football and its debut 50 years ago was really interesting. The vivid detail that Joe Namath remembers as well. So check that out on Westwood One. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. How would you describe your football team with a TV show or a line from a TV show? Mitchell says on Facebook, Friday Night Lights for the Cowboys. Michael says Jets equal Gilligan's Island. I loved Gilligan's Island. But actually, Jeremy on our Facebook page says Gilligan's Island for the Lions. Lots of big stars visiting, but they never get anywhere. How would you describe your team? Alan says Dolphins, the Twilight Zone. Let's talk to Leonard, who's in Idaho. Welcome to After Hours. How would you describe your team with a TV show?
Yeah, hi, Amy. I like comparing them to Everybody Loves Raymond. They're the Patriots. For them, there's a character where has a wife, and she thinks he has it all easy, and she has all the burden she has to bear. She has to do all the hard work. And then he has a brother who's jealous of him that he generally gets the favor of the parents and always catches all the breaks. And I don't know the general pulse of the, you know, everyone else's fanship, but I know they definitely would want to have a Super Bowl like the Patriots have had. So that's kind of the best I've got with that comparison. And I just like to say I appreciate your previous on tonight's show of the talking about Adam Vinatieri and the conversation he had with Coach Reich, where they had just not revealed everything, but they generally were showing their mutual respect for one another, and that apparently is still going to be the kicker. And I don't wish anything bad for Adam Vinatieri. I would hope that,
of course,
his health is great, and he just had some mental mistakes, and he'll correct them, I'm sure. And it's pretty amazing. So it was nice to hear, and I didn't hear the conversation with Brady and Namath, but just a little bit you just played. I have to go back to the Westwood One website to hear that, because I would really like to hear that.
Yeah,
so
no, it's good stuff.
You airing that.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Thank you so much. Leonard, good to talk to you in Idaho.
All right. Hey, have a good one. Thanks.
Yeah, the stuff with Tom Brady and Joe Namath, really good. It's completely different eras of football, but a mutual respect between these two great quarterbacks. Really quick, since he brought up Adam Vinatieri, I'm so pleased with the way the Colts have handled this. Frank Reich will not have it. He does not want Adam Vinatieri retiring. And even though they had a conversation on Monday, they're choosing loyalty. They're choosing to stand by their guy, which is so rare in sports.
Just want to make this clear. Adam's our kicker. Like I said yesterday, we have zero concern. He's not only our kicker, he's an instrumental leader on our team. You know, when we talk about toughness and what we're all about as a team and a program, there's probably no one who epitomizes that more than Adam. So just want to make sure that's clear. And then lastly, just a great team win. Division road opponent, tough opponent, well-coached opponent. We'll have another tough test on our hands this week. But looking forward to our home opener and have the Indy fans there in full force.
Frank Reich on a conference call on Monday, not only praising the leadership of Adam Vinatieri, and as you can imagine, after losing Andrew Luck, they need that presence in the locker room, but also saying we have full confidence that he is going to be back to the guy that leads the NFL in career points. I just appreciate that so much because Vinatieri does not want to let his team down, probably feels not just frustrated, but you know, a little bit embarrassed for the kicks that he's missed that were well within his range, and is considering giving the Colts an option to go find someone better. And yet Frank Reich is saying, screw that. You're staying here. We need you. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Joseph is in Houston. Welcome to After Hours. What TV show describes your team?
Well, I had a little debacle. I picked a movie that I thought best described my team. My team's the Texans, and with the Bill O'Brien mess going on, I just feel like the guys need to come together. Stand By Me is my movie. I think that they've got the guys, and they need to take it upon themselves. Like, who calls a prevent D when you need to hold them back? I mean, there's just so many things that are going wrong with them guys, and there's so much talent that they can utilize, I think, to come together. If they come together, you know, even with the defensive changes they made.
I mean, man, they're this close to being 2-0.
I think they almost beat the Saints on the road.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's – I get that it seems a little bit crazy to start because of the moves made by Bill O'Brien, but they look pretty good to me.
Yeah, I have high expectations for them this year.
Cool.
I wanted them to beat the Saints in the beginning, but
of course,
it didn't happen. I'm a longtime listener. I love the show. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Joseph. Good to talk to you in Houston. Actually, looking forward to doing a show from Houston coming up on Thursday night, heading down for a long weekend with mom, but not missing any work. So just going to spend a few days in Houston and do a show from there on Thursday night. Matt says on Facebook, the Patriots are the Brady Bunch. Well, duh. That one's pretty obvious, right? How come I didn't think of that? Let's see. Albert says on Facebook, the Dolphins are lost. Truly. Robbie says on Facebook, Falcons, unsolved mysteries. And then James says, the Walking Dead for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, interestingly enough, we've gotten probably more TV lines or TV shows for the Pittsburgh Steelers than any other team so far. Sue on Facebook says, the Steelers last season were Family Feud. This season, the Love Boat. So no one says the Kardashians yet. John on Twitter says, for my Browns, there's only one show that's Growing Pains. Keith says, the Buccaneers are the Beverly Hillbillies. I don't think Bruce Arians fits that. Let's see. Tony says, the Jaguars as the world turns. Another tweet for the Steelers from Thad, dazed and confused. Good stuff. Really creative by a lot of you. This one from Charles, the New York Giants, Breaking Bad. Now that one appeals to a lot of you that are listening. I know it. And finally, Chris says, the Dallas Cowboys, boys meets the world. Ryan, the Dolphins are the Bad News Bears without the good ending. We're back tonight. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day. CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.